We're back with another edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. I'm Emily Jashinsky, culture editor here at the Federalist. As always, you can email the show at radio@thefederalist.com. Follow us on Twitter at FDRLST. Make sure to subscribe wherever you download your podcasts and to the premium version of our website, thefederalist.com as well. Today, we're joined for an emergency pod of sorts by the one and only Sean Davis, CEO of the Federalist. Sean, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Emily.
Of course. This is, like I said, an emergency pod of sorts because we got the Durham report yesterday, Monday afternoon. It dropped with all kinds of juicy details from the investigation. Sean, if we could just start from square one. If you're talking to somebody, obviously you followed the story and you've broken news on the story for years. But if you were explaining to somebody who had not followed the story, what the Durham report is, what the Durham investigation, the special counsel investigation is, how would you explain it?
That's a great question. I would describe it as an FBI-led coup against an entire political party and against the American people. So what happened in 2016 is, at the urging of the Hillary Clinton campaign, the FBI decided to assert itself into the presidential election by opening an investigation under false pretenses against Donald Trump and his campaign, using lies that were given to it directly by the Clinton campaign and its contractors to get warrants to spy on Trump's campaign, to spy on his campaign affiliates. And they did this all in the hopes first of swinging the presidential election in 2016. And when that failed, they transitioned to using the op that they had spun up to potentially end and at least cripple the entire Trump presidential administration. And it involved honey traps, it involved human sources, it involved illegal spying. And if you're familiar with Watergate, which was kind of a two-bit break-in by some random people affiliated with the CIA at the time, they were allegedly looking for dirt on Nixon's opponents. Take that, just pump it full of steroids, let it metastasize for years on end. That's what you had with this Russiagate collusion effort. It made Watergate look like absolute child's play. You had the CIA director, the FBI director, the president himself, the vice president, or now president, all being briefed at the time on Hillary Clinton's plan to just spin up lies about Trump, and they were all in on it. To me, even talking about it, it's shocking how corrupt and brazen the whole thing was. And while I know a lot of people are upset that Durham didn't go after more people, didn't put more people in prison, what he lays out in his report is just an utter indictment of the entire culture at the FBI, at the CIA, given that they were deliberately, openly trying to subvert an entire presidential election. And they nearly got away with it.
I think that's a really great place. It's a great launch point into this next part of the conversation, which is usefully debunking the media, the corporate media narrative over the last 24 hours or so about how the Durham probe, because it did not result in any, you know, major criminal findings — this is the line that the media has taken — it sort of went out with a whimper. What's your response to the media coverage of this, some of which I've seen on MSNBC is just outright dismissive of Durham? Some of it is completely just downplaying it, like the Wall Street Journal. You have to kind of look to find their reporting on the Durham report coming out just yesterday. So what would you say if the media is like, basically, Durham didn't find much?
Well, first off, remember that the corporate corrupt media just lies. They lie about everything. They lie instinctively. It's what they do.
How dare you?
Oh, I have far more offensive things to say about them if we've got time.
Please.
But they lie about everything. And the stuff they don't lie about, they just pretend never happened and they don't cover it at all. Much like the Wall Street Journal news pages did. But yeah, they came out and said, well, nobody went to prison for it, which is true, which means none of the things were bad. Durham actually addresses this in his report. And the big problem he had was that all of his charges, because all of these crimes were perpetrated in D.C., had to be brought into the D.C. trial court, and they had to face a D.C. jury. Now, D.C., as many people know, is about as left-wing as you can get in a city. You know, maybe San Francisco, maybe Philly, maybe they're a little more Democrat. But D.C. went something like 95% for Hillary, 95% for Joe Biden. And I know everyone likes to say, well, the Constitution, you get a jury of your peers and a fair jury, representative. They look at that and they'll be impartial. That's a total lie. We all know what these juries do, especially in cases that are political. And while there were obviously crimes committed here, this was an inherently political case because it had everything to do with how we run our elections and who you happen to be supporting in 2016 or 2020. So what happened was Durham, I believe, brought three cases in D.C. Kevin Kleinsmith was an FBI attorney who fabricated information in spy warrants against Carter Page. He put in lies about Carter Page. The CIA told Kevin Kleinsmith, a top FBI attorney, that Carter Page had actually assisted the U.S. government in tracking down a whole bunch of Russian spies. What Kleinsmith did is he changed this email from the CIA to say the opposite of what it actually said, to make Carter Page look like a liar when he had claimed that he had worked with the CIA and the government to root out Russia spying in the U.S. So he changed that to give it the opposite of what reality was in this warrant to spy on Carter Page. Then you had Michael Sussman, a DNC and Hillary Clinton campaign lawyer, who was doing all kinds of shenanigans with the FBI, peddling lies to them, peddling information that he either knew was false or should have known to be false. He was indicted. That went to a jury. Kleinsmith pleaded. He's probably kicking himself for having pleaded now, knowing how politicized DC juries are. Sussman went and he was acquitted. And you even had people in this trial say, well, we don't even think they should have brought this case. This is a waste of time. This is the same jury pool, mind you, throwing grannies in prison because they glanced at the Capitol for 5 seconds on January 6, 2021. And then you had the same thing with Igor Danchenko, a major source for the so-called Steele dossier who made up all kinds of crap. Same thing happened there. So Durham addressed it in his report. He didn't say this. He all but said it, which is that it's a political case. There was no chance of getting a fair trial or a fair jury who was willing to look at the facts and the law. And so it would have been utterly pointless. He could have brought all the indictments in the world he wanted. And those juries in D.C., because they are so left-wing and so partisan, would have dismissed all of them out of hand. So given how our system is now, Durham was kind of stuck. I mean, if it were up to me, I would completely abolish the D.C. trial system. And these political cases that arise out of political stuff in D.C., I would farm them out randomly to districts around the country to get rid of this one district with 95% Dems basically holding the country hostage with their partisan hackery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. Now, it seems like there's some new information about Igor Danchenko, the primary subsource of the Steele dossier in the Durham report yesterday. Did we learn anything new about Danchenko? I believe he was actually making money for his lies.
Well, yeah. So the FBI initially paid him as a confidential human source. That they knew he was the subsource, and so they brought him in. They paid him, I think, $220,000. That's a lot. First off, that's a lot of money to do anything. That's a crap ton of money to just feed him lies, which they knew were lies, which ought to tell you something about the credibility of this investigation from the beginning. But even after they determined that he was the primary subsource, that everything he had fed them was nonsense, that they couldn't corroborate in any way, shape, or form, they proposed to give him, I think, another $300,000. And it wasn't because he was such a good, reliable source of intel. The real reason they did it was that if they could keep him tied up as a confidential human source, they could shield him from congressional oversight, congressional questioning, and congressional scrutiny. And that's what actually happens. And this little example here is a microcosm of how corrupt, how irreparably broken the FBI is, that they could get away with something like this. They knew what was happening. They knew they were going to get caught. And their way to address it wasn't to just come clean and say, hey, we screwed up, you got us. It was to pay off people who they knew had been lying on their behalf so congressional investigators couldn't get to them.
That seems completely unbelievable. believable. I mean, it's like it's just hard to even wrap your head around the fact that the media has had zero interest. First of all, that it happened. And secondly, that the media has had absolutely zero interest in this, except for buying the line that was fed to the FBI from Denchenko to Steele. And all this under the Clinton campaign goes straight into the media with like no questioning. Here we are years later, and they don't want to reckon at all with something they got completely wrong in the service of the government.
Well, yeah, it's the media's role in this is even crazier. And basically what happened is somebody in the FBI or DOJ, one of these people running these coups against the American people, would call a reporter and was just peddle absolute nonsense to them. Hey, I heard Trump paid a whole bunch of prostitutes to pee on a bed at the Moscow Ritz that Obama once slept in. Now, I'm not making that up. This rumor, this lie actually happened. And people who pretend to be very smart and thoughtful and intellectual actually bought it. So there's this rumor out there. And then you have the FBI call up a reporter and say, hey, have you heard this? We're looking into this. Wink. And then the media will go and will report it breathlessly. Investigators are digging into allegations that Trump may have been compromised by Vladimir Putin with information about his sexcapades. And then what the FBI will turn around and do is they'll take that media report, which they themselves sourced, and they'll use that as evidence in a spy warrant, which this is something they actually did with Yahoo News. It wasn't this particular example in the Steele dossier, but they took a bunch of nonsense from the dossier. They fed it to reporters. Reporters dutifully reported, oh, the FBI is looking into these various serious allegations. And then the FBI took those news reports and put them in FISA spy warrant applications as proof that the allegations were correct. Because obviously the media wouldn't report on something if it weren't true. And they call this stovepiping in the intel industry. I call it the media and the FBI getting high on their own farts. But it's what they did constantly. They would peddle lies to their friends in the media. The media would dutifully rebroadcast and republish them. And then the FBI would use those articles as proof in official government documents seeking to spy on people. And it all worked. It worked flawlessly at the time until Devin Nunes showed up as the skunk in their little picnic and blew the whole thing up.
Again, it's insane to think how all of this happened basically in full public view. People like Devin Nunes, outlets like The Federalist are calling attention to it. And the media just is, if anything, turning its gun, aiming its fire at the people who are trying to do basically its job for it. It's unreal. There is some Clinton stuff in the Durham report. Did we learn anything new about the Clinton plan intelligence? This is how Durham describes it in the report. Or is it more just confirmation of what we already knew the Clinton campaign was doing in feeding all of this information to the FBI?
I think it's a little both. There's a lot that I think those of us who have followed the story knew, but is probably new news to those who haven't followed it obsessively like we have. For example, the CIA was told, I believe in mid-2016, that the Russians were themselves aware of a plan by Hillary to peddle nonsense about collusion with Trump and then to use that to vilify him and win the presidential election. The Russians were aware of it. Now, what do you think would happen if you're the Russians? You know this, and kind of your whole goal is just to destabilize countries and people that are getting in your way. You'd assume that they would jump right on it. And wouldn't you know it, Igor Danchenko, the primary subsource, the guy who was feeding lies to the Clinton campaign and the FBI, was himself previously a Russian intelligence source. And this happened over and over again. And so you end up with the Hillary Clinton campaign saying Trump colluded with the Russians when we know for a fact there was one campaign that was continuously colluding with Russian intel sources, Russian oligarchs, and Russian sources to tilt a presidential election. And it wasn't Donald Trump's, it was Hillary Clinton's. The Russians knew it, our own CIA knew it, and they never said a word to any of us about it.
The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. Are you at risk of losing your job to AI? Although some jobs will be eliminated, more jobs could be created. As the fears of artificial intelligence grow, will creative destruction work in this decade? What should you do to prepare? Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and that's particularly interesting because one of the big takeaways from the Durham report, he lays out right away basically how the FBI had no substantiating information, no intelligence apparatus the United States government had any substantiating information that the Trump campaign had colluded with Russia or was in contact with Russia at all when Crossfire Hurricane gets opened. And yet what the CIA has here is that the Clinton campaign is in contact with the Russians.
Right. It's fascinating. You know, we know from the Mueller report, and poor Mueller, that poor doddering old fool, he and his little band of Keystone cops tried so hard. They spent years and tens of millions of dollars trying to get rid of Trump with this Russian collusion nonsense. They couldn't find anything. That was after several years. But now we find out from this Durham report that when they opened the investigation against Trump in July 2016, they called it Crossfire Hurricane. They had no evidence. They had no information. They had no proof of anything suggesting any ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. And it proves that the thing from the beginning was nonsense. It was a hoax based on nothing but documents and lies peddled by the Clinton campaign itself.
And Durham has Comey. I think these are emails from Comey saying, where is the FISA? Where is the FISA? That's in relation to George Papadopoulos, right?
Yeah, it was either Papadopoulos or Page. There were two people the FBI tried to go after with FISA warrants. They tried with Papadopoulos and failed. And that's when they started their little campaign of sending honey traps after him and getting confidential human sources from the FBI to record their conversations with him. Carter Page, according to the report, it looks like the whole campaign by the FBI against him was basically just a personal vendetta. Within the FBI, they didn't like him for some reason, maybe because he had so effectively, without their help previously, brought in a whole bunch of actual Russian spies. But we know they spied on him. We know their warrant applications were full of lies, mostly from the Steele dossier. We know that those warrants were illegal because the FISA court itself, after all this came out, said, yeah, we know at least the third and fourth FISA warrants were illegal. And then we find out through this Durham report that not only was there no evidence anywhere that Carter Page was colluding with anyone, he had helped the U.S. government track down Russian spies, number one. And number two, the FBI just didn't like him. And this whole thing was retribution against him. That's shocking to think about, that our government can go and just decide to ruin your life because it personally dislikes you and you have no recourse whatsoever.
Well, and speaking of Watergate, I mean, FISA itself came out of the Church Committee era. It was supposed to be a reform that reined in the excesses of the intelligence community that had been sort of laid bare in the previous decade. And yet FISA is so easily abused, and it doesn't seem like there's any appetite for reform whatsoever because both the media, Democrats, and centrist Republicans have no interest in this story. And if anything, seem to want the intelligence community to have broader surveillance powers at this point.
Yeah, it seems like the intel community, CIA, whatever, the deep state, whatever term you want to use, it seems like they just own Congress and the intel committee. And it's almost a chance of fate that we even got as much as we have on this. And it's because Devin Nunes, when he was running House Intel, was one of the very few people who weren't owned lock, stock, and barrel by the CIA. I mean, you look at the Senate Intel Committee, and it's an absolute joke, with the exception of maybe one or two people, maybe. But I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it's just old style kind of J. Edgar Hoover nonsense where he just digs up dirt on everyone and blackmails them. But yeah, there's no reason FISA should exist anymore in its current form because of how utterly corrupt it is. And unfortunately, since so many people in Congress just have no interest in doing their actual jobs, they're just willing to let the CIA run the entire country.
You know, in general, it seems like the Durham report, a lot of what the media claims is no new bombshells. You know, he ended with a whimper, et cetera, et cetera. What he's doing is laying out the lack of justification for Crossfire Hurricane and for the entire probe. And so it's not as though there would be like shocking bits of information, although I think there are plenty of shocking bits of information, but it's not as though it's like brand new things nobody knew before. It's basically that there was nothing. Like, he just is like, he is going down all of these different avenues saying there's nothing. For instance, this is about Carter Page. Durham says the FBI, quote, failed to follow logical investigated leads about his, quote, recorded denials of having any relationship with Paul Manafort, a fact about which there was available evidence. And so what he's doing is going down all of these different sort of side streets saying the FBI didn't do this. The FBI didn't do that. The FBI didn't check this out. They didn't check that out, but they did when it came to, you know, the double standard. They were doing it when it came to the Clintons. You know, if it was going to exonerate Hillary Clinton, yes, they were going down that avenue. But if it was going to exonerate Carter Page, they weren't.
Well, I think a perfect example of how the media decided they were going to cover this, I think it was CNN. So in the report, Durham has a section where he says, yeah, you know what? I could propose a whole bunch of new rules at the FBI that might help here. But since there is no fidelity, since there is no integrity, since there is no sense of moral right and wrong at the FBI, basically this institution is so corrupt from the inside out that to push new rules would be utterly worthless because the people who actually work there and would have to be following them have no moral compass. They don't care what the rules are. They don't care about right or wrong. So, you know, based on what I've learned, it would be a total waste of time to pass new rules because this agency is completely without integrity whatsoever and they wouldn't follow them anyway. So that's what Durham lays out in the report. How do you think CNN covered it? CNN covered it by saying Durham says no new rules because nothing was wrong. I mean, you almost have to clap and like tip your hat at the chutzpah there. That's what we're dealing with the media. And, if you look at all the lies they peddled in service of this coup and this hoax for years and years and years, who on earth would think that now would be the time that they would actually fess up to them? They're all in on this. Like, if anything else, they're just going to keep doubling down. So I just don't think you can take at face value these claims from corrupt corporate media outlets like CNN that, oh, there were no bombshells. The whole thing was a bombshell. It was a bombshell constructed of smaller bombshells to make one giant Voltron bombshell. And because they just can't handle it because their tiny little brains just can't deal with the cognitive dissonance between the facts and what they've been saying. They just pretend it was nothing was there. They lie to their viewers and they go back to rending their garments over January 6th.
I mean, I don't know why people think they're supposed to trust the media on the story when you have immediate reaction from Andrew Weissman on MSNBC, Frank Figliuzzi on MSNBC, then you go to CNN and it's freaking Jim Sciutto, who worked for the Obama administration. Like, it's just they're completely in bed with the organizations they're supposed to be covering. And that's a huge part of why they're not able to concede that they lied. I mean, a lot of it was intentional.
I mean, you had McCabe on, it was either CNN or one of the NBCs, who was fired for lying to the DOJ inspector general, going on and saying, oh, Durham's a crank and this whole thing's nonsense. And that's like what's so insidious about how the deep state works now, is these guys, they go into the government, they use their power and the information, they weaponize it against their political enemies. When they leave or get fired, all these networks go and hire them. They get massive seven-figure book deals in the case of James Comey. And then they get to go on TV and just lie out in the open of everything about everything and shape the narrative. So they get to do all their shenanigans behind closed doors. And then when they get busted, they get to leave and they get these massively lucrative sinecures at the end. Like, it is such a broken joke of a system that I really don't know how you deal with it other than just getting rid of these agencies whole cloth. I mean, in my view, the FBI, based on what we've learned, based on what we've seen them do for 20, 30, 40 years, it's a domestic terror organization. It's the most dangerous domestic terror organization in America. And it is long past time for us to defund it. I mean, for goodness sake, the agency is housed in a building named after J. Edgar Hoover. Right. So like, this isn't something that just started yesterday where they're like, hey, we should be corrupt and like do crimes on America. No, they've been doing it from the very beginning. Like, this entire agency was conceived in nonsense, and it's long past time that we get rid of it entirely.
Yeah, Chris Bedford likes to point out that the Goldwater campaign, Lyndon Johnson had the CIA spy on the Goldwater campaign. It wasn't just, you know, leftist organizations being infiltrated by Hoover. It was basically everyone, and regardless of whether there was any legitimate predicate. Sean, is there anything that we're missing? Because there's a 300-plus page report. Are there any highlights that we haven't touched on yet?
Oh gosh, I think they're all lowlights. The big things to remember are that the entire investigation by the FBI from beginning to end was a hoax. They didn't have any evidence at the beginning when they opened it. They didn't find any evidence while it was open, and they didn't even find anything at the end when they spun up this doddering old demented fool Bob Mueller to try and clean up their mess. From beginning to end, they never had any evidence. It was a coup. It was a lie. It was a crime committed against the American people and the government they elected. And the fact that not a single person has gone to prison over it is an absolute tragedy.
David Harsanyi has a piece saying John Brennan should be in prison. Basically, if we were a truly healthy democracy, John Brennan should be in prison. Just as that one example, Sean, what do we know about how John Brennan abused his public office?
Well, heck, John Brennan should have been in prison long before this. This is a guy who went and blatantly lied to Congress about how the CIA was illegally spying on Congress. Okay, the guy is dirty as the day is long. We could spend hours just on his shenanigans and misdeeds. He's a crook. He's a liar. He's utterly corrupt. We've got evidence out the wahoo of him lying to Congress. He was in, I believe, August of 2016, working with Harry Reid to try and spin up the whole collusion hoax. So, I mean, Brennan, Clapper, McCabe, Comey, Strzok, Lisa Page, Kevin Kleinsmith. We could go on and on and on about all the people who are in prison. And as I said years ago, if nobody goes to prison for this, they're going to do it again. And what did they do in 2020? They did it again. They're going to keep doing it until they are no longer given the tools to do it, or because they're finally behind bars.
Yeah, that's a story that Sean broke last week about the CIA actually being, you have somebody who's working for the CIA asking, seeking signatures on the Hunter Biden laptop, as disinformation letter that was used as a predicate by the media to ignore the story. Sean, one last question. What is the appropriate position for a Republican candidate? Hey, let's just even open it up to Democratic candidates if they're interested in truly reforming or improving the intelligence community or getting rid of the intelligence community. What is the appropriate position? What is the litmus test if someone is voting in a primary in 2024? What should a candidate be saying about how to approach the FBI, the CIA, the deep state?
The entire apparatus needs to be torn down to the studs. We may even need to dig up the whole foundation and start from scratch. And if the Republican position isn't somewhere near that, they're not serious and they can't be trusted. And if they ever get into office, they're just going to be led around by the nose by these people who've been perpetrating these hoaxes on us for years. The FBI cannot be fixed. The CIA cannot be fixed. I mean, again, to go back to how the FBI was conceived in nonsense, this was an agency that tried to convince Martin Luther King Jr. to kill himself. Mm-hmm. Okay. We had the U.S. government going and setting people up so that they could then come and shoot their kids and their wives and their dogs. So I'm talking about the Weaver family in Ruby Ridge. This is an agency in DOJ that went and burned down an entire compound of men, women, and children in Waco. I believe 20 or 30 years ago, they blew up an entire city block in mm-hmm. Philadelphia. We could go on and on and on. Weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. What happened with those? Oh, ISIS being the JV team. Oh, that's another oopsie by the CIA. The fact that one of the 9/11 hijackers, and maybe even two, was staying at the apartment of a Fed informant in 2001, and the FBI just never knew about it. And then, you know, a month later, we have 9/11. These people are incompetent, and those who aren't incompetent are utterly corrupt. And until we completely clean the slate of what they've done to this country by tearing down their organizations to the studs. We're going to be having these conversations over and over and over again about the crimes that they're committing against the American public.
Sean Davis, CEO of The Federalist, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another edition of The Federalist Radio Hour. I'm Emily Jashinsky, culture editor here at The Federalist. We'll be back soon with more. Until then, be lovers of freedom and anxious for the fray.
Darling, you got me right.